This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Schools in the first state are largely operating in hybrid mode right now, a mix of in-person and remote learning. But keeping them in that mode, or eventually moving to full reopening, requires keeping the spread of COVID-19 in check. And just last week, one of the three measures the state uses to determine school status, the new case rate per 100,000 people, jumped into the red zone at 113.3. A group called Safe Schools believes one way to avoid seeing other measures go red, forcing a full return to distance learning, is to mandate a statewide standard for testing and contact tracing in every Delaware school through the Department of Education to ensure full compliance. And that group has sent a letter to Governor John Carney asking for just that. Contributor Larry Nagengast takes a closer look at what this group is seeking and the response from the state and schools in his latest piece at DelawarePublic.org. And he joined me this week to discuss it. So the group we're talking about is Safe Schools. Let's start with exactly who they are and what are the different pieces of that group that's working on this.
Well, let's start with the acronym. The SAFE in Safe Schools stands for Safe, Accountable, Forward, and Equitable. The group was formed earlier this year, and it consists of parents, educators, and education advocates whose original goal was to seek equity on school issues like discipline, segregation, and achievement gaps. Then with the COVID-19 pandemic breaking out, issues relating to health and safety and ensuring learning opportunities for low-income and special needs kids became their priority. And the group has gotten support from a number of influential organizations, including the Urban League, Network Delaware, and ACLU Delaware.
And what specifically do they want to see in terms of testing and contact tracing?
I mean, they're looking really for just two things: mandatory free COVID-19 testing for all students and staff in public schools, and uniform statewide procedures for contact tracing whenever a student or someone working at a school tests positive for the virus.
And they want this to be run through the Department of Education, correct? So it is not kind of a suggestion or recommendation, but it's actually something that everyone's going to have to comply with. That's what ideally they would like, right?
Yeah, they haven't spelled that out specifically, but yeah, you would think that this would be a continuation or an upgrade of the reopening guidelines that DOE put together back in August. And you've also got two other agencies that are involved in this, of course, the Division of Public Health, which is responsible for the contact tracing, and the Delaware Emergency Management Agency, DEMA, which is playing a major role in making sure that the testing opportunities are available throughout the state.
Are there any schools out there that are already doing kind of what this group is looking to have done? I guess, a model of what they would say, hey, what we want is what this school is doing everywhere.
Sure. Okay, let's take the two pieces, testing and tracing, separately. Now, on testing, the Eastside Charter School in Northeast Wilmington has a mandatory testing program for all students who are receiving in-person instruction there, which amounts to about one-third of the school's enrollment in that they have a K-8 program. Families there have a fairly simple choice. If they want in-person instruction, they have to participate in the testing. If not, they get online instruction only. Now, here's how this works. The school nurse tests all the students and the staff every Monday or Tuesday of each week. Then she ships off the samples to a lab. The results come back the next day. If anyone tests positive, the further steps are taken, contacting public health, and they decide what they have to do next depending upon the details of that particular case. On contact tracing, I learned about a couple of schools that have set up procedures in their day-to-day operations that make tracing easier. First State Montessori in Wilmington, for example, has reduced class sizes so that students stay at least 6 feet apart throughout the day, and they stay in the same room while they're in school during the day. Anyone else who enters that room, other than the teacher, has to log in at the door and write down the names of anyone that they have contact with while they're in the room. Students also have assigned seats on their buses. Now, with these procedures, the school says it is very well equipped to identify individuals who might have to be listed for contact tracing purposes if there is a positive test. The Academy of Dover, which is a K through 6 program, has taken some other steps, like adding security cameras in every room. And this helps them because interactions among students and teachers and other personnel can be monitored all day long. They've also put markers with tape on the gym floor. They've spread out their recess times, and they've changed dismissal procedures as well. All of this enables them to keep distancing among the students and staff, and it makes it easier for them to keep track of who has been in contact with each other. So in the event of a positive test, they can go back, they can look at the video recorded on the cameras, identify who was in contact with whom, and move forward if any contact tracing is necessary.
So how do these examples that you just kind of laid out for testing and contact tracing compare with what we're seeing other schools currently doing?
Okay, on testing, most of the other schools are merely encouraging testing. They're providing information to students and their families on how to access the testing sites that are set up in their communities. Now, the state does have a program that offers school staff members access to testing once every 4 weeks, but the testing is not required. That being said, while not every teacher is getting tested under this program because it's not mandatory, I have also been told that some teachers are going to these community sites and they're getting tested more frequently than once every four weeks. On the contact tracing, most every school is doing pretty much the same thing. When there's a positive test, they notify the Division of Public Health and they discuss all of the details that are related to each case, where the virus might have been contracted, who the student has been in contact with, and so on. Then the public health people decide whether anyone has to be quarantined and if any action has to be taken at the school level. If actual contact tracing is in order, the Division of Public Health, using this information that's provided by the school, picks up the ball and starts making the phone calls and getting in touch with the people who might have to be notified that they've been exposed to the virus.
Big picture-wise, we have a sense of how schools are currently doing. I know we've had a couple that have needed to close, Sussex Tech being one example, with kind of mini outbreaks. But you know, how have others that have had positive cases been able to handle them?
Well, you know, we talked about this during the summer when the reopening plans were being written. And just about everybody I had talked to then said they expected to have some form of virus cases popping up during the year, but they didn't know how many or how serious the impact would be. So far, we've had two schools having to close, as you mentioned, Sussex Tech twice for 2 days each, and Woodbridge High School for 2 weeks, wrapping up this Friday, November 6th, and scheduled to reopen on Monday. The other schools I've talked to had a couple of cases each, and all of them, I believe, were the result of contacts that occurred away from the school. Exposures within the buildings have been limited. Quarantines were instituted when necessary. But none of these other schools that I've spoken with this week had to shut down entirely, nor did they even have to shut down an entire class. However, let's keep in mind, many schools were operating remote only until the last week or two.
So one question your piece raises is, can the state actually mandate all of this? And what would keep them from doing so if they wanted to?
Well, that's kind of interesting. After all, from a public health standpoint, you would think that everybody would want to jump on board a free testing for everyone bandwagon. However, one point that was made is that such a testing mandate might actually violate the state constitution. The education clause of the Constitution talks about, quote, free public schools, and includes the words, every child shall attend. So the argument goes, if testing were mandated and a student or parent refuses to go along with the testing, that could arguably amount to denying a child the free public education guaranteed by the Constitution. Now, as for school personnel, especially those who belong to unions, unless a testing requirement is negotiated, required testing might be construed as imposing a new condition of employment, and adding another condition of employment might be determined to be a violation of labor laws. So as with just about everything else these days, you've got legal issues to look at, even when an idea seems like it's a really good one.
Devil in the details, as always. I'm curious, what kind of support does this request by Safe Schools have beyond the groups that are involved with Safe Schools?
Well, okay. There are concerns, like the legal ones that I just mentioned. And, you know, then there are those who say that mandatory testing isn't needed, or at least isn't the be-all and end-all here. After all, you know, we know that you can test negative today and be positive tomorrow. And there are other pieces to virus containment and mitigation, like wearing masks and social distancing. And some school officials say, well, you know, we're just getting back into this in-person learning, so let's see how it works and before we make testing another item that we have to deal with regularly. Nevertheless, there is some support for this idea. Some educators point out that the more students and staff have access to testing, the better off everyone will be. And Joe Jones, who is the superintendent of the Newcastle County VOTEC district, is really buying into this safe school proposal. His district has only high schools, but obviously high school students have siblings, and they're attending schools all over the county since the VOTEC is a countywide district. So this means that parents may have to deal with different rules and regulations at each school that their children attend. It would make a lot more sense, Jones says, if all of the schools had the same rules. It would be easier for parents, and overall that would make it easier for everyone to follow.
Based on that, are schools generally willing, able to do this?
Okay, well, let's make two assumptions first. Let's assume that the legal questions that we've already mentioned turn out to not be a problem, and let's assume that the money for testing is available, whether it's from the state, from the Federal CARES Act, whatever. Assuming that those matters are resolved, I think that most schools would want to participate. And the key issue then would become one of capacity, meaning does the school have the people on its staff, most likely a nurse, who would administer the test, label the samples, send them back to the lab, and take care of the follow-up if any of the results came back positive. Most schools, I suppose, are in that situation, and in that respect, yeah, they would probably go along with the idea.
How about a response from the state? Have we heard anything from them about this?
Yeah, we have. The governor's office has not indicated yet a desire to require or to significantly expand testing, but it has scheduled a meeting with the Safe Schools Organization for Monday afternoon. Representatives of the Department of Education, the Division of Public Health, and the Delaware Emergency Management Agency, the three pieces of state government with a stake in education, contact tracing, and testing, are all expected to participate. The fact that a meeting is scheduled doesn't mean that anything is going to come of it, but it also means that they're talking, and when you're talking, that's a good sign.
And finally, your thoughts, having heard all this, having dug into all this, how likely are we to see something like this happen?
It's not easy to predict, but let's consider the position the governor is in and look at the names of some of those supporting individuals and groups that have signed on to this Safe Schools letter. Last month, as you recall, the governor agreed to a mediated settlement of the state portion of the school finance suit that was filed on behalf of low-income minority and special needs students. That's precisely the grouping of students that is most likely to fall ill from the virus and to fall further behind in remote learning as a result. So there's reason to be hopeful for some movement on the state side, because, you know, clearly the government and the governor in particular does have a vested interest in meeting the needs of these students. Now, as for those who signed on to the letter, you've got 8 state legislators, including 4 who represent parts of Wilmington, and 2 suburban legislators who are very influential in the education arena. And the groups that are supportive include the Urban League, the Delaware State Education Association, the Delaware Center for Justice, and 2 organizations that we just talked about a couple of weeks ago on this program, Delaware CAN and First State Educate. So we've got some movers and shakers nudging the state as well. Taken together, you've got some ingredients here for change. The question now is whether that they can come up with a recipe that everyone likes.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nagengast for his time this week. His piece on Safe Schools, Push for Statewide Testing and Contact Tracing in Delaware Schools is available at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. The Green continues with Arts Playlist and a look at a new photography exhibition at the Delaware Art Museum focusing on essential workers in Wilmington. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.